Evening, everybody. It's lovely to be with you and with all of you online and all of you here in person, and grateful for the opportunity to minister here at 16th. I always have such a fondness for 16th for obvious reasons. It reminds me of my parents. My dad and his family came here when they had moved from Winnipeg, and they were teenagers. And then they moved over to another assembly, but this was their first assembly. Amen. So, and then there's a relationship that was established and reestablished in the last number of years. So grateful to be with you. Grateful for this time. As Harold mentioned, I had a hip replacement, so this is my second one, if you can believe it. I had my right one done about 15 years ago, and now my left one. So it's a genetic thing. So unfortunately, one of those things in life. But God is good.
Amen.
In thinking about this evening, I was thinking about what to minister on, and I think I'm going to go with what we've been doing over with the in one of the places I work with is a Chinese congregation. I don't have it in Chinese today in my PowerPoint, but a Chinese congregation, mainly they're young families. We've had more babies born in that little congregation than I've ever seen. We have three this year and about five last year, and it's really great. But lots of little ones, but one of the things that I've noticed, and brother Paul he spoke to it about these concerns that we have, and concerns about right now I'm dealing with a young lady who says I don't agree with the church because I prefer a same-sex relationship, and so have to have wisdom in how to deal with this in kindness, yet righteousness, with conviction, and show from Scripture what is right. We're running into this more and more, and there's lots of challenges out there. And we need to have the grace of the Lord upon us, but the wisdom as well, and also the righteousness of what the Bible teaches. That's the fundamental way that we have to approach these things. And so we need to pray for one another and pray for wisdom. One of the things I've been thinking about is, as a precursor, is just the theme that we've taken this year is basically we've used one word, awakening. Awakening. And the idea is revival. Now, I don't know about you, but I love history, and I like to read about history, and so then sometimes I'll read about what's going on in a historical context, and with regard to revivals. And there's such an interesting anecdotes that you can read about in history about the different revivals that took place. And I've always been interested, and I've mentioned it before because it is an important thing to look back and see how did people get motivated? How did people get moved? And how that can translate into today. Because, yes, we can read the history, and the history is wonderful, but how does it apply to you and me today? And many of us long for awakening. We pray for revival. We pray for renewal. We pray for spiritual fire and passion, right? I think all of us can appreciate Brother Ronald Edgecombe, right? Ron, he'll tell you. He says I'm not the most eloquent guy in the world, or he says I could barely speak English, and then he'll go on about all those things. But I'll tell you, That man's got passion.
Amen.
He's got fire. And after all these years, he still has that. And that's something that I hope will stand out in my life and my and the sphere of influence that I have, and in your lives. And I was talking with Elizabeth today. We were talking about that whole idea of spiritual passion and how why people remain faithful to the Lord, and what's the difference between a person who is you know, goes a certain period of time in their life and then all of a sudden they're distracted and they go into a different direction, and we ask ourselves that question, why? Now, and by the way, last time I went to 9 o'clock, not realizing you're done at 1:45. So my sincere apologies for that last time, and I won't make that mistake. But awakening and the revival, we often look at a period in time, and then we say, okay, and it does. I mean, you know, going to meeting every night is a wonderful thing, but it's probably not sustainable. even though it's you know, when I grew up as a kid, I used to go to meetings every night. You know, those gospel series or that we used to have, or ministry meetings, and we had a preacher named Jack Hunter once came. I think some of you would know who Jack Hunter was, and Jack Hunter from Scotland, and he was I'll tell you, he packed them out. But he went for probably a month or 2 months, and every night there was a meeting.
Amen.
And it was ministry meetings, teaching from the Word of God. He was excellent, and I was a young person. And there was definitely a taste of God moving in those times. Now, but awakening is not only a moment. It's actually a movement of rekindled purpose. Awakening is not only a moment, but it is a movement of rekindled purpose. What does rekindled mean? It means to begin again. To you have a little fire. If you want the fire to grow, right? You fan it. You fan the flame. And the Bible talks about that, about fanning the flame of the spiritual gifts that we have, fanning the flame of that. And so with a lot of these young people that I'm working with, one of the things is that because they're having all these children, they sometimes, well, you know, we've got a sniffle here and a sniffle there. And I understand you got to keep the children at home and care for them. But at times, I think that they're using some of those things and not being faithful to the things of God. We had a young couple that got saved. She's Korean and he's Chinese. They got saved and they got baptized about a year and a half ago. And I'll tell you, they come out to all the meetings, breaking of bread. They're there. They come to, you know, we're having a Bible study on Zoom called we call it Digging Deeper, and they're there. You know, they're there at the meetings. And what happened? It was just they got on fire for the Lord, and so I'm really praying that they will also be contagious with the other brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And so I've asked myself, okay, how do we do this? Well, I hope that I'm going to go through a little bit of teaching here with regard to that. But first of all, it's important in Ephesians 5 and 14. We don't need to turn there. It says there, for anything, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That particular verse in Ephesians 5 and 14, it's first of all asking us to be aware of our spiritual condition. Awareness of spiritual condition. We need to be aware of the holiness of God. And then number three, we need to be aware of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things. Awareness of where we are spiritually, aware of the holiness of God, and aware of our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Three things that I think are very important. And so I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea. And I'm going to share my my screen here. I've been given. Oh, can you share that with me? Mine is the Spanish one, Asamblea Valle Aconcagua. Okay. There we go. Thank you. Wonderful. Well, first of all, as we take a look at this, Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, I have the ESV slightly different than what I've got on the screen here. And it says there, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness on you. Now, that is a verse in a book that is rather interesting. Why is it interesting? Well, the prophet Hosea was quite a fellow. He lived during these times when God spoke often through prophets and what they spoke, and they were devoted men of God. And God instructed him to marry a woman who was not of great character or good reputation. She was unfaithful in her nature, and she was adulterous in her actions. And time and again, she would be unfaithful to him. And what it was is that he had to remain faithful. God asked him to do, and he did. And he obeyed the Lord. And it's the story that compared how the children of Israel and their relationship with God, and how that relationship had some tension because of the unfaithfulness of Gomer. So it's a very unusual story. It's a very strange story. But that is the background, and that's the context of the book of Hosea. But I want to concentrate on this one verse. And this one verse is interesting to me in the sense that it talks about sowing for yourselves righteousness or seeds of righteousness. So reap steadfast love, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord that he may come and rain righteousness on you. The next verse, if you read it, it says, it tells them why. Why? The reason why is you have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. And then it goes on to talk about what was going to take place. And then in chapter 11, it tells us of how God loves the nation of Israel and how much he wants the very best for them. So that's what we are dealing with this background of a person who has to be there with this unfaithful woman, and she comes in and out of his life, and sadly, it was a reflection, an exact reflection of the relationship between Israel and God. Now, what was the nation of Israel like? Well, we know that during certain times they were loving the Lord, and they were repentant, and then all of a sudden they would chase after idols and be involved in terrible things that would be an abomination to the Lord. Sound familiar? Today we see that. Now, I think what we need to do always is be aware that God is faithful and God is good. And as we pray, we know that in a sense, we've read the end of the story. We've read the end of the story. We don't know how it's all going to get there. but we know that the Lord is faithful. And that's what he's asked us to be, just like Hosea was faithful. And he didn't deviate. He had every reason to say, catch you later. He had every reason. But God says to us also in our lives, don't be distracted with the way the world is. We can be very distracted. You turn on that news, you're going to get depressed. You turn on that news, you're going to get discouraged. And if you want to watch it, great, that's fine. Be informed. That's I watch the news, I get informed. But my God is greater. Our God is greater. And he's greater than any of these awful things that are taking place. And ungodly men are making decisions. But God has his hand on all of these situations, and he knows the future. And that's why I chose that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. One of the wonderful things is that we have the Lord in our lives, and politicians and will come and go. Situations will come and go. But the constancy and the consistency of God will not. Now, first of all, when the ground gets hard, it says here, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Now, that's really the overall message. Hosea preached to Israel during a time of spirit. There's three things here: spiritual compromise, political instability, and outward religion, but inward corruption. Once again, sound familiar? That's what we have. We have spiritual compromise, political instability today. We have outward religion, but inward corruption. Now, how do we work with this? Well, the people were still religious, but their hearts were hard. And God's call through Hosea was not simply try harder. Okay? What was it? It was this. It was prepare your heart. This verse gives us three very, very powerful commands and one very beautiful promise. First of all, it tells us to sow righteousness. Now, sow righteousness for yourselves, or sowing is intentional. You do not reap accidentally. The only time when I saw some reaping and sowing accidentally was in my parents' home in Chile. They had this inner courtyard, and there was some accidental sowing and some accidental reaping. And so there was a lady over at the house, and she goes, "You know what that's this plant is?" She says, she goes, "It's a marijuana plant." "Dad, or what are you doing here?" And they weren't growing marijuana. My folks were faithful missionaries, but they weren't growing marijuana. What happened was some bird probably took a seed and planted and dropped it. Sometimes, in there, and because it's grown in the area. Well, that's the story that I heard, and I'm sticking with it. But generally speaking, some of you maybe have had gardens in the past, and very rarely do you go out there and go, "Man, look, there's lettuce here," or "it's carrots," right? No, you've sown with an intentionality, and so we don't reap accidentally. Now, Galatians does remind us, though, whatever one sows, that he will also reap. Righteousness is not self-righteousness. It's to live in alignment with the will of God. Very important. Now, when we sow to righteousness, when we sow to good things, that is what will take place. Often I'll speak to young people, and I'll say, you often will say to me, "Oh, I feel so far away from God." But God never moved. It's you that moved. You haven't been sowing to righteousness. You've been sowing to the flesh. That's in my life. That's in your life. That's in anybody's life. We have to be intentional so we can see God move in our lives. Now, added to this, to sow righteousness means to choose obedience over what is convenient. We need to have integrity over compromise. And holiness over popularity, and faithfulness in private as well as in public. These things, I think, are important for us to understand. And there is a tendency, especially within the evangelical world, on a greater scale, is that very often holiness is compromised for popularity. And that is something that is concerning. We cannot be sowing in a way that we are aggrandized, that we are lifted up. We have to look to reap the benefits for the glory of God and for the goodness of God to be displayed. Now, you can't sow bitterness and reap peace. And so, you know, that's the thing. You can't sow bitter, you know, people with hatred and vitriolic words and hateful ways, and then say, well, I want peace out of this. You can't sow compromise and reap revival. And the harvest begins with the seed. You know, during this winter time, there's probably all along here and even around here at 16th, and certainly all around the area, there's certain things that all of a sudden start to blossom. Right now, the cherry blossoms, right? You know, that just started. And all of a sudden, did it start just a couple weeks ago? No, we that started a long time ago when those trees were planted, and then they die, and then they, you know, they come and they go. And it's, and that process starts again, and they appear. And we have that with the flowers that bloom. We have everything. It begins with the seed. Now, what's the seed? It's the gospel. First of all, it's the gospel message. And we can't compromise on the gospel. We need to be clear. We need to stand up with conviction for what the Word of God teaches and what the Word of God says. And if we want to see revival, if you want to see a harvest, we need to plant the seed. How many times have you planted the seed of God's Word into someone's life and it comes to fruition many years later, or it comes to fruition a year or sometime later? How many times have, I'm sure some of you have had people come up to you and go, you know, you said something back in when I was a teenager. I think it reminds me of that gentleman, Markopoulos, that we met and had lunch with, right? He was, Mr. His mom came here, I believe, Mrs. Markopoulos, and we met with her son. He's a believer. He's a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I first met him, and I didn't know he knew Harold, and I didn't know he had a relationship with 16. I'll never forget. He says, "I just thank the Lord." You know, they didn't realize, but you know, they were planting seeds. He came to know the Lord sometime later, but he came to know the Lord. And where was that seed planted? Right here. Right here. That's a lovely story. And that's how it works. So what do we have to do? Sow righteousness, but also we need to reap steadfast love. The Hebrew word here is chesed. I'm not a Hebrew or a Greek scholar. I don't want to make you think that I'm that. But as I looked it up, the Hebrew word here is chesed. It's covenant love or faithful mercy, and that's what is implied here. So when we sow righteousness, we experience God's mercy more deeply. We walk in his favor. We see restored relationships. We even experience spiritual fruit. This is not salvation by works. Hosea is speaking to God's covenant people. He's righteous living positions us to enjoy what God longs to bless us with. He longs to pour out in our lives. And so the third point that I want to take a look at is the fallow ground. Now, it says there, reap up your fallow ground, or break up your fallow ground. And, you know, as you see in where I grew up in, and maybe some of you in the places you grew up, if you went out into the countryside, you'd see someone with a sack. and they put their hand in the sack and they throw out the seed. And I grew up watching that, you know, seeing someone go out there. My dad would always stop on the side of the road because he loved the image. And he loved that image of seeing someone go out there, and they'd be walking along on a field just throwing out the seed. And maybe you've seen that in your experience. And that's the idea of what it is. But what's happened before that? What's happened before that? There's been a breaking up of the ground, a working of the ground to receive the seed. Now, what does it mean? Well, first of all, fallow ground is a soil that once produced but has been left untouched and has become hard and unresponsive. Okay, that's what fallow ground is. So, spiritually speaking, though, fallow ground looks like a once passionate believer is now indifferent. Prayer that feels dry, worship that feels routine, convictions that have softened. Our brother Paul was talking about that. May we not have convictions that have softened over the years. Sometimes we have a tendency to kind of, well, it's just the way it is. It doesn't mean that I have to go and, you know, get a protest and a bunch of placards and become violent or something like that. It's about standing up for our convictions, being true to who we are within the context of our families, our friends, our work, the school, whatever it might be. God asks that of us. But I looked at this list of things and I'm thinking, and worship that feels routine. Many years ago, I was away for a period of time, and just because of my schedule, I remember I didn't break bread consistently for a period of time. It was just my the way things were going. And it wasn't on purpose or any spiritual reason. But I recall coming back and in my local assembly, and I sat in the breaking of bread and I started weeping.
Amen.
And the reason was, and I was a younger man than I am today, and I was so moved realizing that I didn't realize how much I had missed that moment of precious worship. And you know what? Since that day, I've never looked at the breaking of bread the same way. Now, it's not because I'm a highly spiritual person. It's because God convicted me and said, "This is precious, remembering me. This is a precious moment of intimacy with the Lord that we have together and on a personal level." It's a wonderful thing as we worship the Lord together. Now, we have to understand that the ground is not dead, it's just unbroken. Breaking ground is uncomfortable. Plowing always precedes the planting. So if you see someone out there, and my neighbor across the street, his name's Dan, he's a lawyer, he loves his lawn. He loves his yard. I'll tell you, Dan's always out there. You know, my wife and I always, you know, oh, there's Dan out there again. You know, there's one twig out of place. There's something. It's meticulous. But I've seen him go and he'll rototill the whole lawn. And I think to myself, man, it looks ugly over there. But I'll tell you, the next spring, he's got a beautiful lawn. It's uncomfortable. It's not pretty to look at. But breaking that ground, breaking up the fallow ground spiritually, sometimes God has to put us through some uncomfortable situations in life.
Amen.
And what does that look like? One of my sons last summer, he had been dating this girl, and you know, she broke his heart in more ways than one. She was not kind. And she was like Hosea's wife, unfortunately. He had his heart broken. But I'll tell you, there was some ground broken there.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I have to say, my son, it's our second son, Tyler. He's been attending this church close to the home, and just a little while ago he came home and he said, they've asked me to take on all the Sunday school for the elementary schools stuff. So he's there 10 hours a week, working on the curriculum, preparing the packages for the Sunday school teachers. And it's growing. They've got a big Sunday school. Would that have happened if he hadn't had the ground broken and the uncomfortableness of life? Praise the Lord. We are grateful. Elizabeth and I, we just kind of look at each other sometimes and wonder how that happened because, it's just the Lord working in his life. So what does it mean? Breaking fallow ground, and we'll close now, means this. These are the action points that we have to take. We have to repent honestly. We have to confess hidden sin. We have to remove the idols of our lives and let God disturb our comfort levels. There's a bit more here, but that time is gone. But may you and I, it ends off with the fact that there is a wonderful thing that takes place at the end there. It talks about to break up your fallow ground, and it is time to seek the Lord. And how do we do that? And so some other time maybe we'll take it up, but may you look at this verse, look at that one verse in the Bible, and it has so much to teach us, so many things to think about. And this speaks to my heart as much as it does to yours. I hope you understand that. And I hope I believe most preachers, when they come and they speak, and those that are here, when they speak, they're speaking to their own hearts because they have gone through the scripture and how it can minister to our hearts. May each and every one of us be convicted and be react to what the Word of God teaches us, because I don't, folks, I don't want to be routine anymore.
Amen.
I don't. It's too much that's going on in our world today. And we need to stand up. This Bill C-9, they're absolutely right. Absolutely right with regard to that. And so we need to figure that out, and may each and every one of us do it in a way that honors the Lord, and let's hope that we can make people aware. But remember, the preeminent thing is the only way that we can see a transformation is through the gospel message. It's through the gospel. Preaching Jesus Christ died for your sins, he was buried, he rose again, and he lives. And one day we will be with him. But while we're still here, let's be passionate. Let us let God revive our hearts so that others will come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. That's the most important thing. May God bless his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful for the Lord Jesus. We're grateful for the gift of salvation. We think of so many things that are in our hearts and in our lives with regard to what's going on in the world. And we could either put our head in the sand, or we could be totally and completely resigned. Help us not to be. Help us to be passionate about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on a personal level. And may we never forget the sacrifice that was done and made for us at Calvary. May Christ be exalted in us and through us. May we know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, in an intimate way, that people would see Christ in us. Help us to shine the light of Christ. Help us, as Ephesians says, awake, O sleeper. Help us to really be awakened and rekindle the purposes of God in our lives. Help us to fan into flame the spiritual gifts that God gives us, and may we be an encouragement and a blessing wherever we go, standing up for righteousness, not in a rude and abusive way, but to do it in a way that reflects the grace, the mercy, and the righteousness and justice of Christ. Thank you, Father. Be with us now as we go about the rest of our evening, and bless those online as well as those here in person today. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for